Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. You just heard the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
My name is Alec Medford of the KNC Masterpiece. We've got James Tritely on the ones and twos for you. We are getting ready to give way to the G-Bag Nation. They will crosstalk with us here at about 1:40 today. And coming up on the other side, we will recap the madness that was NBA basketball on Christmas Day. Wemby makes history and some more news and notes. But right now we go out to the D&M Leasing Hotline where we welcome in our friend from DallasCowboys.com. He is Kyle Yeomans. Kyle, how's it going, man?
Hey. What's going on, guys? Happy holidays. Hope you guys had at least a little bit of a break throughout the week.
Oh, yeah. We got yesterday off. We were having some family time, but we're back here live and local. I did want to ask you real quick, though, CA. Kyle, how was Christmas with
the
triplets?
Yeah.
How did that go?
We saw some pictures on Facebook.
Yeah. How was the celebration like? What was the shopping like?
Two boys and a girl.
Break it down for us.
It was awesome, guys. It was everything and more. I mean, we had like my wife's side of the family on Christmas Eve. That's like their whole big thing. We do a big Christmas Eve deal. And so we had that whole scenario on Christmas Eve. And then we got back home and it was just me and my wife for Christmas morning. And that was so special. Just getting to open up presents with them and see their faces light up really with the tree and the paper. Like the wrapping paper was a huge hit throughout the year because they're still only 10 months old. So that was a ton of fun. And then both sides of the family kind of came over to our house last night and we had a big dinner. My dad cooked up some Tex-Mex and some fajitas and stuff. So we had a really good grub as well. And then today, actually, I worked this morning, had a couple of shows for DallasCowboys.com that are coming out later in the week, had Talking Cowboys in our podcast this morning. And then now it's my side of the family's turn to have their Christmas. So we had to play it by ear and kind of stretch it out a little bit.
You're on tour.
Our holidays continue, but man, we are so blessed and it's been so much fun getting to celebrate the holiday season as a family of five for the first time, which is still crazy to talk about and crazy to say, but wouldn't change it for the world.
I can't believe you talked your wife into naming the kids Michael, Emmett, and Troy.
I know. I still can't believe it either. And I know Troy, whenever she grows up, it's going to be interesting. And she's going to be like, Dad, are you kidding? Or, no.
Yeah, how did you do this to me?
We do have a Michael. We do actually have a Michael. We've got Michael, Leo, and Noel. And so Noel being the Christmas name, certainly she got a little extra shine
there you go.
This time of year. But it's so much fun.
You love to hear that. We do still, this week has been so discombobulated along with the whole Cowboys season. They're out of the playoffs, but you still got to play two games left on the schedule. And this week it's Philadelphia in Philadelphia. Even though there's nothing left to play for, it still feels like this game holds some intrigue with Micah Parsons, you know, saying F Philly in front of the media. And, you know, there's still the bad blood there. There's still the rivalry. Does it seem like the locker room is still energized to play this game?
Yeah, so they just held open locker room a moment ago, and they had yesterday off for Christmas Day. So it's kind of tough to get a good feel of it right now. I know Philly's kind of going through their own things. They're trying to ramp up for the playoffs, and they have – Jalen Hurts with a concussion. They've got Kenny Pickett that's dealing with a rib injury. So it does. I think you're right. It has some luster. It still has the rivalry feel to it because neither one of these teams want to lose to the other, no matter if they're 10-2 or they're 2-10. They do not care. They want to win this game. So, yeah, it has that. But it does. It feels like there's maybe a little bit of a step back because Philly – even though they're still fighting for playoff seeding, pretty much their whole playoff fate has already been decided. They're trying to wrap up a better seed, better division, all that kind of playing into their favor, where the Cowboys are really just playing for pride and playing for their coaching staff right now. So I'll get a better read of it whenever we get there, but just based off of the way they played last week when they knew going into Tampa Bay's matchup, that there was nothing to play for, I expect them to still have some fight and bring it to Philadelphia this week.
Can you tell all the Cowboy fans or the different Tolos out there the personality of Martis Leofau? Because he's a really cool, laid-back guy. And he's going to be my player profile for this week. But at the same time, he's got a famous cousin out there playing for the Rams.
Yeah, yeah. He's, of course, related. It's Puka Nacua, right?
Yep.
Playing, Puka Nacua. Or who he was related to. But he's very – and honestly, I think he probably mirrors Puka.
Yeah.
In that
– he
that,
really
that
does.
Mentality. And they're both really chill, laid-back guys. But when it comes to football, they are uber-focused. Yeah, and they're very smart. That was the first thing whenever I met Maris last year during the draft process. That was the first thing that stuck out to me was, wow, this guy is sharp. And he picks up on things. He's very, very articulate with the way that he vocalizes, whether it's communication on the field, communication to the media. He's just an uberly smart guy. And that probably comes from the fact that he comes from a football family. He comes from Notre Dame. He's got a great background. And that's probably why Dallas was so enamored with him through the draft process enough to take him in the third round. So you're starting to see that step forward. And you talk about the player spotlight that you're going to have this week, CA. And I think, one, that's going to be great. Two, spotlight is the right word for him because these final three games starting last week against Tampa Bay is a chance for Maris Leofau to say, hey, I'm in the spotlight to end my rookie season, because DeMarvian Overshown kind of took that spotlight first year playing full active roster after his injury in 23. And boy, did he turn into the star that he ended up being. And, of course, the injury was so unfortunate at the end. But now Maris Leofau says, hey, I've got some extra snaps. Mike Zimmer drafted me to be a blitz-heavy linebacker and somebody he wants to play downhill, and he showed out in a big way against Tampa Bay. So I think this week when you look at Leofau and his tape, it's going to be very reminiscent of what it was in Week 17. He's going to play sideline to sideline. He's going to play downhill. He's been more decisive at the second level, which was a knock against him early in his rookie season and all the different tape that he put out early. I think he's learning the game. It's slowing down for him, and that's a lot of positivity in the linebacking core for the Cowboys after this season is said and done and going into these final 2 weeks.
Marist is one hell of a singer, too, if you didn't know.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was actually your crew, Kyle, out there when I was doing a Cowboys crosstalk. They showed me the tape of him singing Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh wow, he conquered that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He killed it.
It was really funny because – DeMarvian Overshown, it's funny that I just compared the two of them a second ago on the field. Off the field, during the rookie premiere, it's every year going into training camp, We do a rookie premiere for Bank of America, and it's a small corporate event, but it's me and Isaiah Stanback that host it. And we interview a panel of the rookie draft pick. Mm-hmm. If you're a draft pick, you're up there. And so we're having these conversations, and we like to have some fun with it. And last year, DeMarvian Overstone stood up and sang a country song at an incredible level. And this year, we basically asked, like, all right, hey, Demo did this last year. Mm-hmm. We got to find out, is anybody a singer? And Maris jumped up, threw his hand up in the air and said, hey, he's like, I got it. Hand over the microphone. And we turned it into a competition. It was between him and Ryan Flannoy. Of like who was going to be the best singer, because both of them were very active in saying, hey, I can do this. And so we handed the microphone to Maris, and he steps up there and just kills it. Mm. I mean, Tennessee Whiskey, he's got some boots on, full personality, full force.
All that long hair.
Oh, man, it was perfect. It was so, so good. And the crowd goes nuts. Everybody's excited. And then we're like, all right, Ryan, what you got? And Flannoy stands up there. He goes, I'm gonna sing a song that everyone knows. All right, here we go on three. One, two, three. Happy birthday.
Blatant to save, yeah.
And we're like, we're dying laughing. But really, it was all about Maris, man. Oh, he stepped up to the plate. Great singer. It's an awesome video. I think, I believe Pat Doney, who tweeted it out at some point along the way, but it was really a great video.
We have to dig that up.
A snapshot of his personality, too.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Mickey Spagnuolo this earlier, Kyle. Who is the most underrated defensive back in the NFL, and why is it Jordan Lewis?
I love how you and everyone else is looking at J-Lew right now, man. He's been tremendous for a while, but it's even better this year and what he's done from a consistency standpoint. You could throw him, not even underrated, but you could throw him into some of the most consistent defensive backs in the NFL, because he really doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And when he has a moment like he did against Tampa Bay with the interception at the goal line, I mean, that's just it encapsulates what he brings to this defense as a leader on the field and in the tape, but also he's a huge part of this defense and their mentality and how they've made the transition between coordinators really since he's been here in Dallas. He's been constant all the way through. So I think if Jordan Lewis were to really be, you talk about underrated, if this team was a winning team, like a winning record or even close to being in the playoff contention these final few weeks, I think Jordan Lewis has had a Pro Bowl season. And I would challenge anybody in the nickel cornerback spot to show me who's had three or four players in the NFC that have had better years as a nickel corner than Jordan Lewis, because I really don't think they're out there. I think he should get a Pro Bowl nod because of his talent this year. I just don't know if it'll happen, because part of it is a team success category. Part of it is a popularity contest. And he's not trying to win a popularity contest. He's trying to win football games. And you can see that with the way he's played this year in this defense.
Kyle, we appreciate the time. As always, my man, take care, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, everyone.
There he goes, Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline right here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
Something just happened, and we've got to shout out this Tolo. Not only is it Tolo, he is a great guy that we've done a lot of work with.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Swavey, the CEO of Guns and Hoses, North Texas. We've done a lot of things with him. He's always raising money for families who lost someone in their family, a firefighter or a police officer who passed away during service. He just, out of the blue, he just sent this to me. He just got nominated for the 2025 National Law Enforcement Officer Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
So props to Dave Swavey.
Congrats to our friend Dave. That is awesome. We know that you mentioned it. We do a lot of work with them, and it's always a really fun cause. Did a remote out there before their event this year. Fred and Blake were out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always really cool to see the community get together for a good cause, and he's been doing this for a long time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's cool to see him get that Lifetime Achievement nomination there, because he's put a lifetime of work into
it. Seriously.
So congrats to our buddy Dave.
If y'all run into Dave, you know Dave's for me. Please text him and honk your horns and hold 9 yards because he does a lot of great things. So does Guns N' Hoses themselves.
Absolutely. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, let's talk about the madness that was the NBA on Christmas Day. Wemby makes history. The Lakers take this one, and Jimmy Butler wants out for real. Next on The Fan.
Season high, 32 points. Wembanyama, you bet, 42 for Wemby.
Well, unfortunately for Wemby, he did not make the difference yesterday as the San Antonio Spurs fall in Madison Square Garden to the New York Knicks. We're going to break that down and more here in just a moment. It's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, getting ready to crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation coming up here in about 17 minutes or so. Thanks for hanging out with us here today. And if you've been here...
I hate to tell you this. Bobby Belt renamed our show.
Yeah, I'm not going to say...
It's the ANC. Oh, wait a minute. That was choppy. The ANC Masterpiece.
I'm not going to say the other name that he thought of.
Yeah, including James in that. And,
yeah, don't think it's FCC friendly.
No.
But I'm okay with getting left out on that part. The way that he worded that was not family friendly. It sounds like a fine coming. It's not a good idea.
That's Bobby Belt's brain.
He did say it. You could just hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app to hear what he said, but you know, just to like dance around it, you know. Just imagine if you were wearing a jacket and then you decided I'm hot, so I'm gonna take it off. There you go. So let's talk about some around the association yesterday. As the NBA yesterday was peak hoops. It really was. There was so much good basketball yesterday. Everybody put on their best performances for their teams yesterday. And we're going to start with what we came back with there. Victor Wembanyama makes history, and it still wasn't enough to get a win against the New York Knicks in the Garden yesterday. Look, the NBA has been playing on Christmas for 77 years, and this is going to be one of the performances that people will talk about for as long as they continue playing on Christmas Day. 117-114 is the final score. The Knicks win, but nobody's talking about the Knicks actually winning this game, even though the end of that game was madness. Victor Wembanyama put up a final stat line. Can't even put on a straight face looking at this. 42 points. 18 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks in 40 minutes.
Only 4 blocks? What's wrong with him, man?
Well, part of it is because Dante DiVincenzo decided, hey, you know, mid-range stuff, we're doing it. It was really good. Or whoever. It seems like the Knicks always have like a really cold white guy on their team.
Yeah,
plays for Minnesota now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was at the American Airlines Center.
Who's the one that they have now
I'm
thinking of? Mm-hmm. I'm blanking. I'll find his name. But the mid-range game was working for the Knicks. Josh Hart is just a ball of energy for them. He's like if Josh Green was a little bit more refined at basketball. Because there was a couple of attempts where they would go for the long three and he would just bull rush the rim for a putback. Jalen Brunson seems like he's Iron Man every single time he plays. Because he takes some sort of weird fall or he gets dinged up. Kind of like Luka.
Yeah.
Like he gets dinged up in some weird way.
They learn from each other.
Yeah. I don't know
both
what it is.
Both drafted at the same time.
But there was like a weird bit. I want to say like 2 minutes left in the game. He kind of fell into the bench and it took him a minute to get up. But then he gets back up and he makes a key play there inside of 2 minutes.
Did Wemby block him?
But I don't think so.
Maybe.
I don't think so. Remember, only 4. Only 4. We're going to knock him for that. Only 4.
You know, he had done 8 blocks back-to-back before that game, and they were thinking, can he do it 3 times in a row?
And for the Knicks, Mikal Bridges had equally as an impressive game as Wemby did, if we're being honest. 41 points, 17 of 25 from the field. 6 threes. This is the Mikal Bridges that they thought they were getting when they were trading for him.
Yeah.
Because to start the season,
he wasn't doing none of that.
Disappointing is probably an understatement. Yeah, especially with the New York media and how they cover that team and what they gave up to get him, too, in that trade from the Brooklyn Knicks Nets, excuse me. But he was fantastic. It seemed like everything was working for him. The mid-range was there. We talked about 6 three-pointers made. He was automatic, and there was like he was heat checking. It felt like every time he got the ball, he was pulling up from three, saying, "I deserve this," and he definitely did. But this is what the NBA needed on Christmas Day: a competitive game between one of the game's most historic franchises, and one of the franchises that nobody's really talked about in a while, but has their future superstar on that roster, and he performed to the highest of his abilities, and they still couldn't get the win because the Knicks have such a well-rounded roster. And right now, Boston is still so unfair with their construction and how their roster is built, but the Knicks are slowly starting to show that after a full season of play, we might be able to make some noise in the East.
Let me tell you something. The East is interesting because people are sleeping on Cleveland. Boston's got a championship ring. So in other words, they don't have this pressure. You better win a ring. So anything could happen in the playoffs against them. The Knicks have all the players that they need. They think they can knock them off. It's just a wild, wild situation where the East has some interesting pieces out there, especially with these teams and what they might do. But the West is even more dominant and loaded with some teams people forgot about, like Memphis and Houston.
And Wemby almost ties Wilt Chamberlain's record of 45 points in a Christmas debut. It was Wemby's first time playing on Christmas Day. That record has stood for 65 years.
Wait a minute. Wilt Chamberlain's record where? Because Luka had more than that last year. Luka had 50 last year.
A Christmas debut game.
Oh, debut game. Yes. There we go. Debut. Yeah.
So in his Christmas debut, he had 45.
Got it.
And that was 65 years ago, and that's going to continue to grow.
Wimby's just amazing.
He got so close, and it felt like for a minute at the beginning of the game, it was within the second quarter, they were already talking about Wilt's record might be in danger, and it really felt like he was going to beat it. But there were some unfortunate shots that didn't fall for him. Like, there was a three ball that would have broken the record for him, more than likely, that rimmed out, that I audibly, like, screamed no. I never thought I would be this invested in a Spurs game.
Well, you're just watching the history. You wanted to see the guy.
Exactly.
It's not the Spurs, it's the guy.
Exactly, and that's why, like, I was that one unpopular dude that anytime Brady made the Super Bowl, I wanted them to win, just because I was like, I'm watching greatness. I want to see him pile. I really do. So that happened yesterday, and that started off your Yuletide schedule. Obviously, the unfortunate game was next. The Mavericks and the Timberwolves, and Anthony Edwards had himself a game. Julius Randle, the Plano native, had himself a game, and Luka Doncic did not have much of a game because he didn't play much of it because he exited with a calf strain.
But that doesn't mean that the Dallas Mavericks did not put on a show in the fourth quarter.
No, not
in
at
fact,
all.
The guy who put on a game was Kyrie Irving, who had a better game than Anthony Edwards, had a better game than Julius Randle, our own. He had 39 points, and he was doing it. Kai was Kai. They couldn't do nothing with him. And the rest of the team stepped up when Luka went out with his calf strain just before halftime, and literally they cut a lead that was a 28-point lead that, you know, the T-Wolves had built up in the third quarter, that while the Mavericks were trying to figure out how they want to do this thing, and the shots were not falling. They were bricking really good shots, but they were bricking most of the team. And then they cut it down to 2 points. 2 points in less than a minute to play. Crowd was going nuts. It's like a playoff atmosphere. These are two teams that were in the Western Conference Finals, and they were up by two, and Anthony Edwards makes an off-the-glass shot that gave it 4. Mavericks couldn't get a good shot off. By the way, in this game, props to Klay Thompson, who passed Reggie Miller as number 5 on the all-time three-point shots made list. And they didn't stop the game down, but during the timeout, they gave him his props, the whole 9 yards. So it was good, but everybody's like, man, what's going to happen with Luka now? How long will he be out? But more importantly, what are they going to do without Luka? Well, the first test is tomorrow night. They play at Phoenix. Well, guess what? Phoenix is so good. The Mavericks have yet to beat them this year. They've lost twice to them. One time by 1 point. The other time they got kind of blown out in Phoenix. I think this team's going to be fine because their record without Luka is 6-1. If you exclude the Luka and Kyrie game where both of them were out. So the depth is there. It's just a matter of holding it down. And you were talking about maybe something about the trade deadline, what people might be looking at?
Yeah, I was wondering earlier, we were talking before the show, there was a lot of people for the most part, it seemed like with the Jimmy Butler situation that we're going to get to here in a minute about the whole, you know, does he want to trade out? Does he not? He would prefer, you know, this list of teams that includes the Dallas Mavericks. And
he ain't come here.
And a lot
don't
of people
want him here.
A lot of people seem to be against that just because of what you would have to give up, which I'm in that group. I don't want to do it. I feel like it would ruin something that good that you already have going. But I wonder, since the calf strain is such a touch and go injury. I mean, people brought it up earlier in the show when we talked about it in the 10 o'clock hour that calf strain is what Kevin Durant had, and then he comes back and tears his Achilles.
He came back too soon.
Came back too soon. So it's a very touch and go thing. You have to absolutely know when it's ready to go.
Here's the deal about Luka, though. He's dealt with his calf strain for the last 2 years now, and so has the Mavericks medical staff and the trainer. So unlike KD, I'm qualifying this because a lot of people don't take a deeper dive. He came back too soon because people were berating him for not playing in the playoffs when they said, hey, look, this is the same year that Klay Thompson also got hurt. This is the year that Kawhi and Toronto won the whole damn thing. And at that time, KD decided to give in to the haters who saying he should play. He's not playing because he's trying to leave. And so he played and got hurt worse.
But the point being, he's going to miss an extended amount of time, which it's still unknown. We're still awaiting testing, and we'll get that report whenever it's time. But I wonder if there are some people that might kind of change their mind on not getting, you know, a multi-time all-star like Jimmy Butler, making that massive roster-depleting and draft asset-depleting move, but maybe making a move for another ball handler. Or making a move for something that could fill that void, because we've already seen the reports the Mavericks would like to buy at the deadline. It's just a matter of who's available and what are they willing to move, because they do have their first round draft pick available next year.
This is what's so great about the Dallas Mavericks and Nico Harrison. Nico Harrison has made a move at the trade deadline every freaking year. He has never said, oh, we love our guys. He never stands pat and says, he's kind of like Chris Young. You better enjoy CY and you better enjoy Nico Harrison, because they are into team building. And the one thing about Nico Harrison, he will get you assets that you've never heard of before, and you're not satisfied until you say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know. You're like, Shaq, I'm sorry, I wasn't familiar with your game. You didn't know anything about PJ Washington. You didn't know anything about Daniel Gafford. But as soon as they got him, guess what? Mavericks never lost two games in a row until the NBA Finals. That's the kind of moves he can make. So you're saying, okay, if he's going to make – and this was so wild about Nico as well. Let me give him his props, because the people don't recognize how well he's – how clever he is. You were just mentioning, and not you personally, but anybody was talking about the assets you have to give up for Jimmy Butler. When Nico Harrison got here, they were saying the Mavericks have no draft picks to trade. They have nothing to work with. They have no assets that anybody wants. Guess what? 2 years later, they make it to the NBA Finals. So don't sleep on Nico like you don't sleep on Chris Young. But more importantly, it's fun to play the game of theoreticals and what could possibly be traded for and who they might get, because team building is a sport, and I'm all for it. But be aware, don't think the Mavericks are just going to sit there. And if Luka's hurt, don't think that they're still not going to. It won't be a reactionary thing. It'll be a thing that says, you know what, Luka is coming back, and we still want to have more assets for him to work with.
And wrapping up the NBA schedule yesterday was the 53rd matchup between LeBron James and Steph Curry. The latest chapter in that storied rivalry, the LA Lakers are victorious in that game, 115-113, and yet another classic game yesterday.
Steph has 7 threes?
Yes, and with that, this is without Anthony Davis amid that three-point flurry.
He's out for like a game.
It was nothing crazy. He was able to walk out of the arena with no issues. But the Lakers leaned on Austin Reeves, who had that game-winning layup with 1 second left. It capped off his first triple-double of the season.
White Mamba.
26 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists, just the third of his career. He stepped up big with AD going out. But to wrap things up here with the NBA, this is actually hot off the press from ESPN. Yesterday, Shams Charania reported that Jimmy Butler wants a trade out before the deadline in February, and he has his list of teams that we've talked about numerous times on this station that hasn't changed. Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors, Dallas Mavericks, and Houston Rockets are the four teams that he would want to go to in a trade scenario. But I was going to poke fun at Shams putting that in his back pocket until Christmas Day just so Jimmy's agent would have to pick up his phone during his family time and go tweet about how Shams is a liar. Pat Riley just put out a statement about this reporting saying, quote, "We usually don't comment on rumors, but all this speculation has become a distraction to the team, and it is not fair to the players and coaches. Therefore, we will make it clear. We are not trading Jimmy Butler." End quote.
So, Jimmy, your wish is not going to happen this season.
The Heat play in Orlando today. Butler did not fly with the team to Orlando last night. He twisted an ankle in Miami's loss to OKC on Friday, but missed the remainder of that game and the next two games at the Orlando Magic last Saturday and against the Brooklyn Nets on Monday with illness, not the ankle, cited as a reason, so quote-unquote illness. So he still wants out, but Pat Riley just put his foot down today, this afternoon, and said, we're not trading him.
Because he doesn't want a fire sale on top of all that. The one thing you don't want to do is give up leverage like, well, you have to trade him because he's going to leave anyway or he's going to be unhappy and pout. He's like, let me just squash this right now, and Riley is the bottom line.
And one fun thing that I did see before we get to crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation, this was a story I was intrigued by. Mm-hmm. Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero have a little show on NFL Network called The Insiders.
Mm-hmm.
They had Teddy Bridgewater on, I think it was last week, just talking about his high school state championship run because he's a coach of his alma mater now.
Mm-hmm.
They win the state championship, and he hinted that might be going back to the NFL here soon.
Yeah, he's talking about he wanted to get back into the league, even though, man, he overcame so many injuries just to play quarterback. And he was a really good quarterback, not a great one.
And some conversations were happening, he said. He said it might be happening soon.
That.
Well, it happened today. He is unretiring, and he is expected to sign with the Detroit Lions ahead of their playoff run. So there you have it.
There's a Dan Campbell connection there because I want to say Teddy was a backup quarterback for the Dolphins when Dan was the interim coach for the Dolphins.
And Teddy did play for the Lions in the past. So,
yep, there you go.
Reuniting there, Teddy Bridgewater, one of the all-time good guys in the NFL, is back, so maybe he'll get a ring. That would be pretty cool for Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. There you have a trip around the association plus the Teddy Bridgewater update that you totally expected to happen today. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, let's crosstalk with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, just a reminder that tomorrow we will be on the road for the Friday football feast. In Fort Worth, 629 Staten Street at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come take a load off with us. Corey Majors will be back for that one. So we'll have all kinds of fun. Jerry Jones at 10:30 as well. But right now, presented by D&M Leasing, we welcome in the G-Bag Nation, Eric Chiafalo and Brian Broadus. Merry Christmas, guys. How
Merry
we doing?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Christmas. Doing
I,
all right. Doing
can
well.
Can I mess with you guys a minute? I got to mess with you guys for a minute. I was telling this to Alec. I told Broadus a little bit about this as well. You know how in the evenings on the Fan After Dark, while it was doing different things with Reg and KG, and sometimes I would pop in, and Gavin Dawson would say, tonight's configuration.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
today's, I was telling Alec, and I was telling this to Broadus, the G-Bag Nation has subset configurations. Let me explain. If you're familiar with the R&B supergroup New Edition, Bobby Brown, Ricky Bell, they've got configurations. You got Bell Biv DeVoe, Poison, but there's still New Edition. You've got Bobby Brown's whole career, but he's still New Edition. You got Johnny Gill, New Edition. Ralph, New Edition. In the G-Bag Nation, the configuration, if it's you and Wolchuk, Eric, it's the nosebleed seats.
That's right.
Today's configuration is the pregame show.
Pregame show.
That's right. If it was pregame.
If it was Broadus and Wolchuk, it'd be
the postgame show.
All right. You got configurations.
Can I ask you, you talked about your configurations.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I working with today over here with this Italian, like...
what is this?
This is like...
No shirt?
He's got the taco meat out. What are we doing, man?
Yeah, he's got the zipper all the way down
too much
the
cleavage? Am I showing too much cleavage
my
for
man,
you?
My man.
The ink.
I mean, Chris Sims is doing... Or Broadus is doing the Chris Sims buttoned up all the way up to the Adam's apple deal.
Yeah, you know?
I'm going to show a little skin on the fan can.
My neck's getting smaller, so I need it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm trying to...
Hey, good for you.
But my man, I'm working with like Don DeVito here.
Hey, forget about it.
And you got some homemade stuffed Italian bread to enjoy.
But that's more than taco meat. That's a tattoo. That's
he's got, yeah, he's got it all. He's got
I don't have the piercings like Medford there, but I do have a little tattoo rack.
All right. I'm going shirtless at B-Dubs tomorrow just this to prove
actually,
a point.
This is exactly what I wore. Yeah, and you get to go to B-Dubs tomorrow and soak in. You actually get to, instead of just hear them talk about the great food.
Yes, yeah. I can actually eat the food. This is wonderful.
That's a huge victory Friday there for Medford. Mm-hmm. But I actually, this is my exact, I haven't changed the clothes from yesterday. This was yesterday's Christmas clothes. Okay. Fell asleep, woke up, yeah, and I've remained
so
in
them. So did
the
entire family give it the Italian look that you are throwing down today?
I probably leaned into it more than anybody.
All respect to the Italian.
And you got
to
change it.
My man, he's got like, seriously, it's
courtesy
like,
of my grandfather.
It reminds me so much that guy that I told that story that time I was in Vegas and I placed a bet and the guy behind me in the same exact outfit you're wearing right now.
Yeah.
He's like, he bet 10 grand. Like I bet like $40 on a game and like he bet right behind me. He bet 10 grand Illinois -3.5. And I turned around and he looked at me and I looked at him and he gave me the thumbs up. And so all he was looking for was somebody to convince him to place the bet.
Yeah.
And after I kind of talked him through it.
You gave him the vote of confidence.
I gave him the vote of confidence. But my man was wearing no shirt, zip up, you know, like a bluer suit.
Yeah.
You know, and you're throwing
you're
it
talking
down
to me. So you're talking to me.
Ready for the gabagool, boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do have a rule of thumb with the outfits, though. Like working here specifically. If the fan cam didn't see it, it didn't happen. So I recycle hoodies, t-shirts, same whatever. Here. If it didn't get shown on camera, I didn't wear it that week. So for all you know, I wore this yesterday too.
Yeah.
For all you know.
And but. I love that move. I mean, I will wear things all the time. I mean, I don't think about that. That's like, one of the best parts of this particular job.
Yeah, because you're not outside sweating.
And I work with a gentleman, Gavin Dawson, that did not pack a bag for a trip. We were on a fight. We were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Vegas last year. He said the day got away from him. That was his excuse.
The day got away.
The day got away. I think he realized leaving for work that day that, we're actually getting on a flight going to Vegas after the show. And so he just went, he just winged it completely.
Did he buy clothes?
He says he went to CVS or something and bought, or like
underwear.
Walmart.
But he wore the same pants, same jacket every day that we were there.
Well, part of his deal is you don't ever see him outside of the show. He's back in his room again, right?
Yeah.
So he wasn't going nowhere in his mind.
He was enjoying him some Vegas casino action this time around. Yeah. So you can find Dawson at the table.
He's a poker player. Yeah.
He's the real deal.
Real quick before we talk about what's coming up on the show, just a level of concern after last night or yesterday's game between the Mavericks and the Timberwolves. Luka, calf strain, how we feeling?
Not good at all.
No,
I mean that took the wind out of my sails. I'm trying to have a joyful Christmas holiday, and then he goes gimping away, and then when he never returned, and they're like, "Yeah, he's out." You're like, "Okay, he's actually hurt."
For how
now.
Long?
And then now for how long? And you see the Twitter doctors. This could be what? What I mean, this could be 6 weeks.
Could be.
On the Cowboys, we seem to always deal with these calf injuries.
They're tough.
And it's 4 to 6 weeks every single time.
Lucas had this calf injury forever.
This left leg has been a problem.
At least the Mavericks doctors and trainers are used to this for him. Yeah. It's not out of. I was always thinking last night, I was like, I'm glad it's not an Achilles. I'm glad it's not like a torn knee, some kind of overshown. I was like, at least it's a calf that they're used to working with. And also, at least they're deeper this year.
Well, who's the most famous calf? Kevin Garnett? I mean, not Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Does he have the most famous calf of all time?
Well, no, the injury that kind of...
In the playoffs.
Calf strain that turned into Achilles disaster.
Exactly.
He missed the whole next year.
I'll never forget the way that thing snaked up his...
Yes, the slow motion.
Oh, that was gosh. Bad. Yeah, it sucks. No, Luka, but like you mentioned, the depth... They've done well without him this year.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to withstand. I mean, heck, that second half, that fourth quarter, pretty impressive. Comeback.
Chris tried to bring him home. I tried.
We're getting the crowd all excited.
Ooh-weeing your balls off yesterday, Chris.
I have no voice because of that.
You were the one that was leading the Rudy sucks chants, weren't you? You're the guy I can blame you for that?
Low-key under my breath.
I did enjoy that.
Not on the mic. I joined in.
You joined in.
What do we got coming up on the program today, fellas?
Pure Melanin Gold, as always, here, Medford. Thanks so much for asking. Among other things, of course, we will have the Eric Kendrick Show. Hopefully around 4:40 today. The schedule might be floating around
speaking
a little bit
with a calf.
And then we will be talking some Mavericks with All City Dallas's own Bobby Corella, 520 Expressway, and Ask Broadus Anything during 540, which is usually LA Live. Lucius did the smart thing, the adult thing, got ahead of things, and took the rest of this week off after Christmas. That's a veteran move.
That is a veteran move, and a couple veterans ready to take over your ear holes. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Back tomorrow, live from B-Dubs in Fort Worth. Until then, you've been Masterpieced.